Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It is time to get up with The Last Dance, part two. Will this Rogers remix end with an unfamiliar ring? Meanwhile, wait a minute. Did you hear what the Celtics coach is telling his players to do about Draymond Green? Are we about to see fireworks in the finals tonight? Plus, the Brady Bunch reunion continues. At 45, we'll tell you why Tampa Tom will need to have his best season yet. All that and more as we get up with you on a jam-packed Wednesday, and it starts right now. And take a look at this. We're ready to roll. J.J. Redick is knocking down threes. Rob Ninkovich is just knocking down people anywhere he can find them. And that's not it. Take a look at the rest of this. Oh, Whitney is, it's raining in Boston. He's outside the garden. D. Wood's going to play the piano. Jeff Darlington's going to spin something. We are jam-packed this morning, and it begins with a summer camp pass as we rip around the NFL where minicamps are open as we speak. Ninko, Deebo Samuel showed up to 49er camp. What do we think of that?
Oh, I think he's going to get paid very soon, because if you're his agent, you're, listen, just go to mini camp. We don't want to rack up any fines. We're going to be nice here, but we're going to get paid. So it's vital that they pay this man. He is key to this offense and a young quarterback in his next and taking the next step in the progression. So I really think that the Deebo Samuel contract is going to get done sooner than later.
All right, speaking of receivers, D. Wood, Devontae Adams in camp with the Raiders. What does he make that offense?
Dynamic, Green. He makes them dynamic because he's bringing all their production from Green Bay over to the Las Vegas Raiders. And now you've got a combination of him, Darren Waller, and Hunter Renfrow. That's going to be a hard trio to stop. It should help Josh Jacobs out in the backfield as well, creating more space for him to run.
And then Jeff Darlington, let's go to Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers at camp with his huge new contract. Do we think this is his last season?
I don't think so, Greeny. Now, he was very clear and very honest in his comments yesterday when he said that, look, I do expect to retire with the Green Bay Packers. Hey, I'll take it. That's great news to hear after years of the drama that has unfolded there. But he's also been very clear about this. If he wins a championship, maybe he just sails off into the sunset.
Well, let's see. Speaking of Rodgers, he had this to say when asked about his future yesterday.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Do you think you'll finish your career here?
Yes, definitely. If you say I'm for sure playing two more or three more years and then you have a magical season and end with a championship and think that that might be the best way to write off, you know, I don't want to commit to something. The conversations I've had with Brian have been very honest and direct, and that's not going to change, and we'll sit down after the season and hopefully after a championship and figure out what the next step is.
Okay, so fascinating. Jeff Darlington, let me start with you there, because last year was the last dance. So what does that make this?
Look, we should not get greedy here. We should just take what Aaron Rodgers said as the honest sentiment that it was, that he plans to retire with the Green Bay Packers. To then ask when he is going to retire obviously creates a whole new set of questions. Like I said, he did say that if he were to win a championship, he would consider retiring then. But ultimately, he does not want to put a timetable on this. But to call it the last dance, no. The last dance apparently was last year, and it involved Devontae Adams' last dance, not Aaron Rodgers.
Well, that's the point. And you made this point to me in a phone call this morning that, you know, after the last dance, it's not like Scottie Pippen left and Michael Jordan stuck around. So we're sort of in uncharted, D. Wood, we're in uncharted territory here. Michael didn't have to try and do it without Scottie. Aaron's got to try and do it without Devontae. Can he?
You know, Green, I think he can. And I think part of the reason why is because I think the Packers need to diversify their offense. When you look at it under Matt LaFleur, since Matt LaFleur has been the head coach, you're talking about Devontae Adams has had 433 catches. The next person was Aaron Jones, a running back, at 191. Okay, as great as that combination was, when it came time to take that next step and get to the Super Bowl, they couldn't because they were being stopped. It's easier to stop when you have that one-on-one connection like that. So I think in this scenario with, you know, different receivers, rookie receivers, I think it'll be beneficial for Aaron Rodgers to be able to spread the wealth around. It'll make them a better offense altogether.
Okay, so D-Wood, and you know how much I love you. You're like the sixth person I've heard say that. And with all due respect, it's insane. The idea that you could lose Devontae Adams and your offense become better is just flatly insane. Ninko, explain to this man, because you are closer in size to D-Wood than I am. And Teddy Bruschi, I've heard everybody say it. You can diversify your offense while Devontae Adams is there if you want to, but there's no way in the world you get better by losing the best receiver in football.
I don't understand how this idea has changed, because right when he left, Adams left, everyone was like, well, there goes the season.
They're done.
Green Bay. And then fast forward to now, everyone's like, well, it's Aaron Rodgers. He's going to just spread it around. They're going to be fine. They're still going to win the division. They're still going to win. They're going to make the Super Bowl. No, they're not. I don't think they are. I don't think they're going to
Super Bowl. They may or they may not, but it won't be because Devontae Adams left.
Exactly. So the biggest thing for me is their defense needs to be better. They need to have a better pass rush. They need to be able to stop people, because you can have a great offense. You can have Aaron Rodgers. You can have everything. But if you can't get after the quarterback,
I've upset Damian Woody, and those are words I really lived and hoping to live my whole life never saying out loud, but I think I've upset D-Wood. Go ahead, D-Wood.
Greeny, we were doing so well this morning, man. You had to come at me with all this type of nonsense. Man, listen, here's what I'm saying. I know Devontae Adams is great. I know this. But what I am saying is, when your passing game is so one-dimensional, where one guy is getting force-fed the ball so much, Nico will speak to this, it's easier to try to take him out of the game, as opposed to, as great as Aaron Rodgers is, being able to spread the wealth around. That's what I'm saying. This offense of the Green Bay Packers, they got legit running backs, two really good running backs. Aaron Rodgers will be forced now to have to spread around and trust more people in the passing game. That ultimately can make this offense better. That's not disparaging Devontae Adams. I'm just looking at the total picture when we get down to December and January.
Yes.
Go ahead, Nico.
Let's call on Ninko. Go ahead.
Woody, I agree. You can spread the ball around. You can do that. But at the end of the day, when you have a go-to guy, when you have the guy, when you have Tyreek Hill, when you have a guy that you can double-team him and he's still going to go and get the football, when you lose somebody like that, that is hard to replace. So they lost roughly 30% of their offense, let's just say 30%. Mm. So when you lose that go-to guy, it's hard to spread the wealth to somebody else if you don't have such an impact player that they had offensively last year. So who's going to be the next guy? He's not there. He left.
Right.
So it's going to be tough for him to have a go-to number one guy.
All right, let's put a pin in this for the moment. We will come back to it. Someone check on D-Wood, make sure he's not really mad at me. And we will have much more football as we continue this morning. But let's turn our attention to Game 3 tonight, NBA Finals in Boston. Game 1, all Warriors through three quarters, and then the final frame happened. And what a different story that told. Celtics outscored them 40-16. They took a 1-0 lead in the championship round. Then the Warriors made their own run in Game 2, outscoring the Celtics by 21 points in the third en route to an easy victory. It was their largest point difference in a finals quarter in franchise history. And Draymond Green making his presence known in a big way in Game 2, picking up a tech in the first quarter, holding Tatum and Brown to a combined 1 of 10 shooting. I want you to hear what the Boston coach, Ime Udoka, said about Draymond Green's impact. Listen.
I don't think it's the talking as much, as the physicality that they brought that was noticeable. And we know, obviously, that's what Green does. I told him if I was a player, or who I was, I'd probably get a double technical immediately. But that's not everybody. And so do what you do and block it out or meet physicality with physicality.
Okay. So I know that I'm the man who just picked a fight with Damian Woody. So I don't want to make it seem like I'm just completely out of control this morning. But did Ime Udoka just challenge his players to be more physical with Draymond Green, to be in his face, to match him intensity-wise? And if so, what should that make us expect tonight?
It should make us expect a very physical and chippy game. And I think that's the key component of this. I don't think you should get distracted and try and bait Draymond Green into technical fouls or double technical fouls. You should bring a level of physicality that matches his intensity and his physicality. And lost in all of this, by the way, lost in all of this is how good Draymond Green was defensively in Game 2, and how good he's been in the playoffs defensively. Players are shooting 10% less than their normal shooting percentage when guarded by Draymond. That's best of any player in these NBA playoffs.
Again, I've been covering the NBA playoffs a very long time. I can't remember the last time I heard a coach say, well, if I was out there on the floor and he is a former player, I'd get a double technical with him immediately. That's, if you're a player and you hear your coach say that, what is your response?
Well, he's certainly giving you the go-ahead to engage in the chippiness. For sure. And I played against Ime Udoka, and he was that type of player. He was an instigator. He was a physical player. He would get in your skin and try to get underneath you as a defender. So I think tonight, you know, between the referees, whatever crew we have, and the Boston home crowd, and then what happened in game two. Tonight's game is going to be very intense.
Well, let's go to rainy Boston, which is where Windy is taking cover, and he's live with us here getting set for tonight's game. How about the Draymond of it all, Windy?
Okay, Greeny, Ime Udoka played about 350 games in his career. How many technicals do you think he got?
Well, to hear him talk, you would think like 300. How many?
Six.
Six?
Six. He had six technicals his whole career. JJ is right about the impact that Draymond Green had with his physical defense. The little thing with Grant Williams and the little thing with Jaylen Brown had nothing to do with the outcome of game two. I would argue that the fact that he took nine fewer shots and had nine fewer misses in game two than game one was just as important as his defensive possessions. He was much smarter offensively in that game. So I would say that, you know, the technical fouls and stuff are overblown. The other thing I'm going to point out, we will know in about an hour who the crew chief is going to be. The NBA will announce it around 9 a.m. I expect it to be Scott Foster. Not because it has anything to do with what happened in game two, but Scott Foster typically officiates game three of the finals so they can bring him back in game six or seven. And Sheriff Scott Foster will take control of this game early on and set the tone for how it's going to be called and how the physicality is going to be allowed.
What do you think of that? You just mentioned the officials, and Windy had mentioned that on the phone to me this morning, that he expects Scott Foster to get this game. That if you know the NBA, you know that he's one of those officials that, generally speaking, people know. What is your expectation for how that would impact tonight?
Well, you know, I talked about this on Monday, actually, and I talked about the officiating in the NBA Finals. These guys are all veterans. These guys have all graded out the best of the best over the course of this season and last season and throughout the playoffs. They're going to have this game under control. They're going to make sure that this chippiness or whatever you want to call it with Draymond and the Celtics doesn't take away from the actual game.
But the fans are going to see, that's the thing, is that the fans are paying attention to all of this. And I've been at every home game that Boston has played for the last two rounds. The fans are going to be ready for this. They're going to be ready for him. Draymond's going to hear it tonight from the crowd, yeah?
Well, he's definitely absolutely going to hear it. And I said this yesterday. Draymond is a smart player.
Yeah.
He knows that this little storyline is on everyone's radar right now. He's not going to do anything that's going to jeopardize his availability in game three. I believe that. Now, that's not to say somebody from the Celtics, maybe a Grant Williams, doesn't try to engage him, but I expect Draymond to bring that same level of intensity and physicality, but not necessarily dirty play.
Windy, give me a quick final word. Go.
Yeah, I think tonight it's more about the turnovers. Forget about the chippiness and the physicality and whatever. When the Celtics have 15 or fewer turnovers in the playoffs, they're 13-2. When they have more than 15 turnovers, they're 0-5. That's the game. That was the story of game two. It will probably be the story of game three.
Fair enough. And yet the screen says, should they try to bait Draymond Green into more technical fouls? And I'm here for it. Stick around. I'll see you tonight, Windy. But you have much more to do. Stay right where you are. We're coming right back to you. Meanwhile, the game of the night last night was from the NHL. Tampa, we go. Rangers looking to put a 3-1 advantage in this Eastern Conference Finals in game four, but the home team had other ideas. Early first, no score. Zach Bogosian, watch the great move as he's circling around the defenders. The shot pops out, but it's Pat Maroon who's in the right place for his third goal of the playoffs. The Lightning, a 1-0 lead. Then it's Nikita Kucherov on the breakaway. He shoots, he scores his 21st point of the playoffs, and just like that, the Lightning are up 2-0. Under 5 minutes in the third now, same score. That's Andre Palat. He shoots from the corner, and Steven Stamkos is in the right place. The Lightning are now 11-1. When Stamkos and Kucherov score in the same playoff game, they win this one by a final of 4-1. The series even at two games apiece, and the series heads back to the Garden for Game 5 tomorrow night. With the series tied at two games, all our coverage begins 8 Eastern right here on ESPN and ESPN+. All right, coming up, Tom Brady is back at camp with high expectations, but one of his former teammates on this set back right now. We'll tell you why it's going to be a disappointing year for Tampa Time. You'll hear it. Plus, what does the chef have cooking for a Game 3 showdown in Beantown? One of our crew will tell you why the best is yet to come from Steph Curry. That's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, and we're brought to you by Marvel Studios' Ms. Marvel original series, now streaming only on Disney+. All right, guys, and Damian Woody in particular, I want you to check this out, okay? Because you were the center for the New England Patriots once upon a time. That is Bill Belichick working on snaps there with Mac Jones. He's down. My favorite part is, look, when he comes up, he's looking for the safety. Where's the safety? Where's Lonnie Lott coming from?
He's ready.
D. Wood, how about the form? What do you think?
Hey, he can snap the ball better than I could during my career. I mean, it went right to the 1-0 Mac Jones' chest. That's a pretty damn good snap right there by Bill. He looks pretty agile, I might say.
Ninko, Bill
does a great job in the weight room. I'm telling you, he's working hard. He does the squats. He does the bench. He's getting down in a three-point stance, getting low. Great snap back to the quarterback.
Yep.
It's a perfect snap. There's a lot of a lot of seven-year-olds couldn't even get down to pick up the ball, let alone snap it. But Bill's, he's looking for the safety. He's looking to get contact. I love it.
That's my favorite part. He's looking for where's Ronnie Lott blitzing from as he comes up out of that stance. Good fun. Bill Belichick out there working at training camp. I like it. In the meantime, let's talk about the guy who used to play quarterback for Bill Belichick. It's this guy. You might have heard of him. At 44 years of age, almost 45, Brady is getting work in at minicamp this week, chasing down what would be his eighth Super Bowl championship. I want you to hear his running back, Leonard Fournette, who was asked about the time he was shopping with the Patriots during free agency and Brady's return. Listen.
I was just shopping around, man, just seeing what best fits me, When he signed back, he called me. He was like, man, what your ass doing up there, man? I'm like, yeah. trying to figure some things out. So he signed back, and it was a no-brainer. Why wouldn't I go back?
So, again, Brady, the general manager, bringing back the running back. Remember, last year they were bringing everybody back. This year they've lost a handful of players, and those that you see on your screen there. They also have a few unsigned, like Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, and Rob Gronkowski. We'll see about all of that. But it does sort of raise the question, Jeff Darlington. Tom Brady, in his age 44 season, had one of his best years ever. Will he need to be better for this team to get back to the Super Bowl with all the pieces they've lost?
Look, to a degree, yes, Greeny. By the way, I love the timeline involved there. Did you notice that Tom Brady, while he was retired, was still texting Leonard Fournette, upset that he was visiting the New England Patriots?
Yeah.
There's something great about that whole thing. But look, I think that he does not necessarily need to be all that much better. Did they lose something on the offensive line with Ali Marpet's retirement? Yes. I believe that Tom Brady believes that he can find guards elsewhere and they can make do there. Ultimately, the fact that they got Leonard Fournette back is hugely important. He, I could make a case, was the most important free agent signing of the year. Because without Leonard Fournette, I don't think that the Bucs can go to the Super Bowl. With him, I think they do. That is how important he is to this team. And we should not neglect the fact that they also have Mike Evans. This is still a really good offense.
Yeah, when at the moment in time in which Fournette got hurt last year, he was playing extraordinarily well, almost looking like he might have been the MVP of that team. So, D. Wood, how about it? That's your old quarterback there, Brady, in Tampa. Now that he's got Fournette back in the fold, if they get Gronk, how are we feeling about Tom at age 45 and their chances this season?
Well, listen, Tom's my guy, but Are we just going to not talk about the New Orleans Saints in this whole equation? I mean, Greeny, we've been beefing this morning.
Oh, my
Seems
God.
Like you want to just keep pissing me off in this situation. I mean, we're talking about a team. We're talking about a team over the last 2 years. They're 4-0 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 4-0. Outscored them by 64 points. Look at the moves that they've made. Look at the moves that they've made this offseason, okay? You're talking about signing the Honey Badger, Marcus May, Jarvis Landry. Drafted Chris Olave in the first round. You think the New Orleans Saints are scared of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? The Saints are in it to win it. So as much as we talk about Tom and Tampa, you better be watching out for the New Orleans Saints.
Okay, so let me make two things clear. One, you and I are never beefing, Damian Woody. I'm not interested in any beef involved. Secondly, does he have a point? He's not the first person I've heard say that, Ninko, that, hey, we're looking past New Orleans in that division.
Listen. The New Orleans Saints lost probably the most important person to their whole organization. That was Sean Payton.
Yeah.
So he was the offensive mind. He's the head coach. He runs everything. So when you lose Sean Payton, I think that it sets them back in the division because you're going against a Tampa Bay team that has Tom Brady back. They got the running game back. They're going to be, in my eyes, they are the clear-cut leaders in the division.
Now, their coach has also changed over. Many people don't view that as much of a loss. I hear you. I'm just pointing it out. Go ahead, D. Wood, as you sip your tea, make a final thought.
Yeah, Sean Payton is a GOAT head coach. He's one of the best that we've seen over the last few years, no question about that. But this team still has a culture behind it. This team still has an identity imprint that Sean Payton has left. They're not just going to fall off a cliff. They have some really good players on that roster, and they've added more to it. So, you know, I know Sean Payton's not there, but this team is going to be a team that's going to have to be reckoned with this year.
Jeff, put a ribbon on it.
Two things. Can Damian, hold up your coffee cup. Look how much bigger Damian's hands are than mine. Like it is absurd. Look how little his coffee cup looks compared to mine. Anyway, by the way, listen to how dumb Damian's logic is here, too, by the way. He cited the fact that the Saints are 4-0 against the Bucs, right? Do you know the team with the most wins against Tom Brady in his career are? Do you know what team that is? It's the Miami Dolphins. They beat him 12 times. Give me a break. That means absolutely nothing. What did that do for the Dolphins other than make them the joke of the AFC East throughout Tom Brady's career?
I'll pile on because they did actually play a fifth time. It was a playoff game, and the Buccaneers won that. But let's not make D. Wood mad. Did you see the size of his hands? As we continue in a moment, Aaron Rodgers opens up about losing his top weapon this offseason. You'll want to hear exactly what he said and what it means for the expectations. Plus, again, did you hear the Celtics coach, how he's telling his players to handle Draymond Green? Are we about to see fireworks in the finals? So much to come. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, looking ahead to tonight's Game 3 of the NBA Finals, and let's do some over-unders. J.J. Redick, Klay Thompson, over-under 19.5 points tonight.
Taking the over on this.
Clay throughout this playoff run has struggled in every series in games one and two. After games one and two, he's averaged 22 a game on 48% from the field and 44% from three. There's no reason to think that he won't bounce back in this series.
All right, they could use it. Wendy, let's go to Draymond Green. Over under 0.5, so one half of a technical foul tonight. Is he going to get one?
I say no. The Warriors have played 18 playoff games. Draymond has four technicals. He had 13 technicals during the regular season, almost the same as Jason Tatum did. Under, he's gonna want one, and Scott Foster isn't gonna give it to him.
Okay, we'll see. So much intrigue. JJ, back to you. How about the great Steph Curry? Over under 28.5 points tonight.
I'm taking the over on this. There's nothing so far in this series that has led me to believe that the Celtics can slow down Steph Curry. The three most effective plays in the half court for either team have been a Steph Curry pick and roll, a Steph Curry dribble handoff, and a Steph Curry ISO. He has just simply been unstoppable in this series.
And frankly, 28.5 would put him well below what he's averaged in the series. He's averaging 31 points a game. The 63 that he scored the most in the first two finals games in his career, the only other times he scored 60 or more heading into game three of the finals back in 17 and 18, the Warriors won both those years, but KD wound up being the MVP in both of those finals. And so let me bring Wendy in here for the first, because you and I were talking about this on the phone earlier this morning. Do you believe we have seen the best of Steph Curry so far in this series?
I don't, and that should be kind of worrisome for the Celtics. I think Steph has played good, well, but I don't think he's played great yet. And if he plays a great game, he's going to carry the Warriors to a win. The Celtics have elected to just not get up on him on those pick and rolls. And, I mean, that's a strategic decision. They're a great defense. They know what they're doing. But Al Horford and Robert Williams have just stayed back, and he has been very comfortable coming off of them. In fact, in the third quarter of that game, in game two, they pretty much went exclusively to Steph Curry high pick and rolls because they were so, you know, pleased with the way the Celtics were defending it. And so the door is open, if they keep defending it that way, for Steph to have a truly great game. He was 5 of 12 on threes in game two. That's great for a finals game, but that's an average game for Steph Curry.
What do you think, JJ? What is your expectation somewhat specifically for the great Steph Curry tonight?
I think the Celtics at this point have no choice but to change their pick and roll coverage. Steph is averaging 1.7 points per possession on that drop coverage. So look for more switches, look for more traps. Of course, that opens things up for everybody else. 4-on-3 on the backside as Steph throws it back. The one thing point I want to make about Steph is we think of him as this great three-point shooter. We think of him as this guy who moves off the ball so well. He leads all players in the playoffs in points per possession in ISOs. And for the season, he was 96th percentile in ISOs. We've seen a number of times on switches, just being able to break down the defense and get buckets at will. He's unbelievable at age 34 and 6'3 as a guard. Mm-hmm. He's still at the peak of his powers. It is remarkable, Grant.
Well, I mean, look at the company he's keeping at his age in there. It's Michael, it's LeBron, and it's Steph Curry for what he is doing. So just to give the fans something specific to watch for as they get set to watch tonight's Game 3 on ABC, you're saying you expect him to be covered differently, which would lead to him shooting less, which would lead to him finding more opportunities for guys like Clay or Jordan Poole or Andrew Wiggins?
Yeah, I don't know that you want to go to a full blitz because the Warriors have seen that so much, and Draymond Green as a screener, or Kevon Looney even at times as a screener in that, or and then a roller into that short roll. They are so good at making plays out of that. The one thing the Warriors do better than anyone is in that short roll against the trap on the weak side. There's two guys. They cut from the corner. They back cut out of that, which leaves that low guy, that X man, having to make a difficult decision. Do I give up the layup or do I give up an open three? They've seen it so many times. So I expect more switching or just the big being all the way up in pick and roll. And then all of a sudden, Steph's got to make decisions about what to do.
All right. Should be very interesting to see how they go about it. In the meantime, that brings us to Klay Thompson, who has really struggled in these first two games of this series, so much so that he says he has taken to watching YouTube videos to try and turn it around. Listen.
That's the beauty of playing in today's age is you can go on YouTube and you can look up all your great moments. And gosh, I'll probably just YouTube Game 6 Klay because there's some very high pressurized situations I was in and I ended up shooting the ball well. And I mean, you can do it when your back's against the wall. You know you can do it at any given moment.
What do you think of that? I mean, you were a great shooter yourself. I mean, he may be, you know, he's one of the three or four greatest shooters that ever lived. But if you're in a shooting slump, do you just YouTube great J.J. Redick moments?
Oh, I absolutely did. I mean, I think most players do this, even when we're not in a slump, but certainly in a slump. It's just that visual reminder, that affirmation that, oh, yeah, I can make shots. You know, Rory McIlroy has this great quote. It says, when you're playing bad, you feel like you're so far away from playing well. Mm. But then once you start playing well, you realize, oh, I wasn't that far away. All it takes is one quarter for Klay Thompson, a half for Klay Thompson, and all of a sudden, he's the guy that we've seen throughout his career.
I mean, sometimes it almost feels like you just need one to go in, and then the floodgates open. I'm in the arena for these games now, so I see the body language. He looks to me like he's pressing. I'm not the expert on this that you are. He looks to me like it is getting, that he is very frustrated that these shots he feels are good when they leave his hands are not going in.
I thought at times throughout this year, and even in this playoffs, he has pressed at times. Mm. He's so competitive. He wants so bad to get back to the form that he had prior to his leg injuries. And despite pressing, he still had a great season. 20 points a game, over 39% from three. He's done that throughout the playoffs. But yeah, I think the body language is there. And that's any great offensive player. When you're missing shots that you feel like you should make, that weighs on you.
Hey, look, it's worth a reminder. This is a guy coming back from not one but two career-threatening injuries almost simultaneously. So the fact that he's out there doing anything is remarkable. Wendy, how about it? How about Klay tonight?
Well, I love this because, number one, Klay is a guy who we think is completely unaffected. He's always chill, but he's showing us he's like the swan who's fighting underneath the water. He doubts himself. But he doesn't have to go back to Game 6, 2016. He can go back to 2 weeks ago, Game 5, Klay, against the Dallas Mavericks in the closeout game. He had 32 points, shot the ball great there. But there's no doubt that they're going to need him. And it's one of the reasons why Steve Kerr left him in the last 5 or 6 minutes of that blowout in Game 2. They were trying to get him to get going. But I will say one more thing. This was amusing to a lot of people yesterday that he admitted to this, certainly to all of us in the media. And then when Draymond Green got asked about it, this wide smile broke out his face, and he said, if we'd have known about it, we would have made fun of him. But I respect it.
But you're saying you do it. Good or bad, you're going back while you're playing and you're looking at videos of yourself.
Absolutely. And, and CJ was on set. CJ McCollum was on set yesterday, and we were whispering while this video sound was playing. And he admitted the same thing.
Yeah.
This is what players do. I had a teammate who would get on YouTube right after games on the team plane. As soon as the highlights were up, he'd watch the highlights and retweet them to his Twitter account. So the guys do this. This is normal.
Fair enough. Which teammate was that?
Jamal Crawford.
Okay. I like it. All right. So that's tonight. We got Game 3 tonight. It should be fascinating. I want to shift gears quickly to the Lakers because yesterday they introduced their new head coach. That's Darvin Ham. And he was asked about Russell Westbrook's role on the team. And in case you haven't heard it, here's what he said.
Don't get it messed up. Russ is one of the best players our league has ever seen. And there's still a ton left in that tank. I don't know why people tend to try to write him off.
Okay, so of course that was 2 days ago that he said that, not yesterday, but the point remains and what he said remains. So, Wendy, how about it? What does this mean? A lot of people took that to mean, oh, the Lakers are doubling down on Russell Westbrook. He's going to be a big part of what they're doing going forward. How did you hear what the new coach said?
Well, at the end of the season, Russell Westbrook gave a pretty incredible press conference where he basically blamed a lot of what happened this season on Frank Vogel and said that he wasn't given a role and he wasn't given guidance. I don't know if that's true, but what Darvin Ham was saying here is, okay, Russell, here is what your role is going to be. Your role is going to be as a defender. Your role is going to be to make a sacrifice. And that way he is laying out for him what his role is in June, well before the start of the season, so that Russell has it clearly explained to him. And the reason that he is doing that is because as of right now, as of June 2022, the Lakers are operating under the belief that Russell Westbrook is going to be with them. And so they have to prepare for Russell Westbrook to have some sort of role on their team. But I don't think it necessarily means that Russ is guaranteed anything or that things are going to be vastly different. I think he's just trying to lay the groundwork so that Russell clearly understands what he is going to ask him.
I need to just circle back on what the way you said that. As of June of 2022, that Russell Westbrook is going to be there. You make that The way you said it made it sound to me like you're suggesting that could be different in October of 2022. Is that what you meant?
Well, yeah, I think if the Lakers had a trade that they could make for Russell Westbrook, I think they'd be very interested in doing it. I just don't think they have a trade right now. So Darvin Ham, in his interview process and now sitting in that office and communicating with his players, is operating like Russ is going to be there. But I'm just saying, I don't think you should take it as a guarantee that Westbrook is going to have a massive role on this team. Mm. I think it's Darvin Ham trying to manage a situation that got out of control last season.
He's certainly going to have a massive contract. You saw the number there, $47 million. How about it, JJ?
Well, I think when we talk about Russ, there's a certain sacrifice that he's got to be willing to make, and it's not just him. I think Anthony Davis is the other guy that's going to have to sacrifice to really maximize a roster around these three guys. Anthony Davis is going to have to play some five, and primarily at the five next season. And so far, he's been very resistant throughout his career to play five exclusively. But the real question mark for the Lakers is not Russell Westbrook. You know, this is the bed that they are lying in. This is what they elected to do when they traded away their wing depth and decided not to bring back Alex Caruso. So how they fill out their roster, their rotation pieces 4 to 8, and how those guys fit with LeBron James, with Anthony Davis, with Russell Westbrook, that to me will dictate their success more than whatever Russell Westbrook's role is.
Maybe somewhat appropriately, in Hollywood, there figures to be a lot of drama going forward. Meanwhile, a reminder, Game 3 tonight, the NBA Finals. The game tips just after 9 Eastern on ABC, ESPN Deportes, ESPN Radio. The series is in Boston. They're tied at a game apiece. I will be there. We will have NBA Countdown for you starting 8:30 Eastern. That's tonight on ABC. Meanwhile, coming up, Deebo Samuel showed up to 49ers camp, but our Jeff Darlington will explain why the Deebo drama is nowhere near over. That's next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back on Get Up. And look at this. Training camps are going on, and Jeff Darlington is our camp counselor. Jeff, run us through some of the big camp storylines, beginning with Aaron Rodgers. He is back at camp.
I'm digging that outfit, by the way. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers back at camp, and honestly, drama-free for the first time in what feels like forever. No, Davante Adams wasn't there, but Aaron Rodgers still there to talk about on his first day of minicamp the fact that he would like to retire, actually plans to retire as a Green Bay Packer. So something that we've all been waiting to hear, and finally we hear it. Now let's move on to our next one. We've got DK Metcalf is a no-show at minicamp. A little bit of a surprise here, although we do know that he has been wanting that new contract and expects to get the new contract by the start of the season. We should point out, though, that this is more of a business situation. DK has said this offseason that he is in a good place, that he thinks this will ultimately wind up getting done. He loves it in Seattle, so ultimately, this is about business. One that maybe not as much about business is Deebo Samuel. This is still a matter of principle, but he did show up at minicamp, which is a very important note. What this allows him to do is avoid $88,000 in fines, and perhaps more importantly from the team's perspective, it creates a new dialogue between him and what is right now a fractured relationship with the organization. So the fact that Deebo showed up is certainly a very good sign, but it is not a guarantee that he will ultimately suit up week one. Deebo still wants that new contract, and honestly, at this point, still would like to be traded. But for now, a good sign that he is at minicamp.
Okay, so let's dive into that a little bit. I'll remind everyone, Jeff, it was you who broke this story initially that Debo wanted to be traded. He said it directly to you on the record. So there's the contract piece of it, and then you mentioned that it may not just be about money. What else is going on here between Debo Samuel and the 49ers that could be a problem?
Well, it all starts with the money, right? It all starts with the conversations for Debo to get paid before his rookie deal is up, and now he's going into the final year of that deal. From what I understand, Debo didn't like the tone of the conversations that were occurring and ultimately decided then that he didn't want to be a part of that organization. And he didn't want to elaborate to me when he told me that he wanted to be traded into the reasons. He would like all of that to play out behind the scenes with the organization. And the 49ers, by the way, have also taken that cue and been very quiet on their side of things as well, trying to work this out. But we should remember that when Kyle Shanahan uses words like relationship and those types of things, this is about the 49ers trying to prove to Debo Samuel that they do love him, that they do covet him, that they do want him in the building. And yes, it does go beyond money, I should say.
So Debo, this feels, at least to me, and I want to check in with you on it, like a very important story. This is a team that was maybe a play away from being in the Super Bowl last year, that is now handing the quarterback responsibilities, handing the ball, handing the team over to a very unproven rookie, a super talented young guy, but who has played very little football. It feels to me like having Debo Samuel there is critically important for the 49ers going forward. How do you see it?
Greeny, you're absolutely right. This is huge. Think about all the assets that the 49ers gave up to move up to number three to draft Trey Lance. Now you're talking about, you know, a possibility, a world where Debo Samuel is traded. You know, how does that help in the development of your young quarterback? It makes no sense. I mean, you're talking arguably the best player on the 49ers team. So this is just a dilemma that the 49ers are going through. And Jeff had pointed out where, you know, you hear that the 49ers at front office trying to frame this at rebuilding the relationship, because the 49ers are a much better team with Debo Samuel and obviously developing their young quarterback when you have that type of player on your roster.
Now, Nico, you come from a place, most of us all associate you as a Patriot, where they probably expect you to take emotion out of it more than anything else, right? Yep. I mean, at the end of the day, you do your job, and this is their business and all the rest of that, and ultimately we saw how it ended with Tom Brady. I mean, when things get sideways like this, as they appear to have, and guys start taking things personally, it can get very complicated. How do you see this?
Yeah, well, because when it's personal, you just want to get away. Like, it's oil and water. You don't even want to be associated with them anymore, because at the end of the day, you want to be paid accordingly for what you produce on the field. So he's the best player on this team. And for him to help a young Trey Lance become a better quarterback by, okay, they're going to give me the ball, what, 20, 30 times? Mm-hmm. And we know in the NFL, your career is not very long. It's a short career. So if they're going to use me up as a running back, a missile motion guy, reverse guy, a gadget guy, number one receiver, slot receiver. So he understands, okay, I'm the guy. They need to pay me like the number one receiver I am.
Right.
And I need to be paid like the top receivers in the NFL. And if they can't do that, then I can't be the guy for you. Well, I'm going to have to go somewhere else.
That's right. And Jeff, I'm not in the conversations, but it feels to me, from what I'm hearing you, the way I'm hearing you describe it, as though they're trying to argue, well, you're not Tyreek Hill. You're not one of these number one receivers. And he's saying, I'm better than that. I actually do more things for you than the things that I don't do. That's how I'm hearing it from this distance.
So a little bit, but it's more the tone of the conversations that were occurring as much as the value itself. The 49ers covet him as a player on the field, but oftentimes when players go to management and say, hey, I want to get paid, if management doesn't handle that conversation the way the player wants and treats with some civility, I think that's where things can go sideways. I'm not saying the 49ers meant for this to go sideways. They love Debo. I promise you that. But sometimes players can take things more personally in these negotiations than management expects. And that, to me, is what feels like is the case here with Debo.
It's a dangerous set of circumstances, and again, hanging in the balance might very well be the difference between a deep playoff run and a team that is practically starting from scratch. We will see. All right, speaking of which, we will get back to Aaron Rodgers as we continue. He opened up yesterday about losing the best receiver he's ever played with. Could the loss of Davante Adams actually help Rodgers elevate his game? We're talking about it. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.